From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from the canyons to the clouds, from the Ingalls down to the Bylow. I don't remember the entire thing. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual here on News Radio 570 WWNC. Typically, it's Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange with Vance Pollock. Vance and Shelley not here tonight, so I, Sam, the Animal Steel producer of the show for many a year now, am taking a shot up at the plate here. Got my friend Lauren. She is co-hosting, and she's doing a great job. Woo!
Working on it.
Yeah, she's never even been, she's not a radio person.
I mean, I listen to the radio, but I don't.
Yes, of course.
I do talk a lot.
That's good. A lot of people freeze up. When they get around a microphone, that freaks
you make
them.
It easy, Sam.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. It freaks them out. They clam up. They get all sweaty and stuff.
Now, if you put me in front of a TV or like a camera, maybe.
Yeah, there's something nice about you're sitting
being
in a room.
Behind a mic.
Yeah, you don't know where this ends up.
Yeah.
It literally ends up all over the world via the internet.
I don't have to worry what I'm wearing. Nobody can see me.
She's not wearing anything. Totally naked. That's how we like to do.
That's
radio.
Really how I got over my fear of this.
It's sort of like public speaking. They say, imagine everybody else naked. This, you just got to be naked.
Yep.
So Joshua P. Warren, he's got this thing, and it's called Finding Your Magic, a one-time-only event. This is going to be a big deal. It's in Las Vegas, Nevada, at MGM's world-famous Excalibur Hotel and Casino on the Vegas Strip. You ever been to Vegas?
I have been to Vegas, yeah. I have never gambled in Vegas. I was underage.
Okay.
There was a lot of things that I probably should have not seen.
No prostitution?
Yep. I mean,
wait,
see it. No. I didn't partake or see it. But there are people on the corner.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought it was pretty
I
much.
I recognized it.
Buffet? Did you buffet?
I did buffet. And we did Treasure Island. We saw the ship go down.
Okay. I've never really had the urge to go.
And of course, we went to the Star Trek Museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I do like buffets. I do like...
I just wish they'd let me take some home.
I do like prostitution. I don't gamble.
Not against your will. Their will, I hope.
No. Okay. I don't gamble. I don't have a lot. And it seems like Vegas is one of those places where the more money you have, the more fun you can have, for
That's
sure.
True.
This event that he's putting on, though, is kind of tackling that issue of manifesting your own destiny. 3 days of fun, information, and exercises that will personally match you with your perfect system to manifest what you want. Now, he has shown on some of his he'll do these daily podcasts and put stuff up on the website, joshuapwarren.com, no period after the P, and on his Facebook page. And recently he had a ticket from a casino where I think he only bet something like it was like $1 or $2. Maybe it was only 50 cents or something. And he posted a picture of his winning ticket, which was like over $250.
Jeez.
And he said that he did that by making it happen before he even walked into the casino. Hmm. And it's going to be personally hosted and guided by Mr. P. Warren, featuring special speaker Dr. John B. Alexander on telekinesis, remote viewing, and more. Plus, you get to play with strange debris from Roswell.
Oh, man.
Now, this is debris that the public has never seen before from his personal stash, his museum. Only 100 tickets are going to be sold. The event dates May 16th, 17th, and 18th of this, the year of our Lord, 2018. Check-in is on the 16th and check-out on the 19th. You can check this out via joshuapwarren.com, and he's got a video up on Vimeo on Finding Your Magic Event Las Vegas.
Vegas!
Yeah, so, and learn how to create a paracymatic sigil live in the most effective wishing machine techniques with Dr. Mulder himself. And he's also going to be debuting his new written guide, Finding Your Magic. And every person will get a signed exclusive copy, only available this one time in print. And ever after, you'll only be able to get it as an ebook. So it's a very limited run, plus other free surprises. And then, since you're in Vegas, you'll be able to try out your newfound skills in the 24-hour casino. All right.
Just go to the change machine and get 100% every time.
There you go. So you can check that out. JoshuaPWarren.com, FreeCharm.com/findingyourmagic. Last hour, we talked about dreams. We talked about lucid dreaming. We were learning a little bit as we went. You know, both of us not experts in this field, but it's intriguing to both of us. Sort of in between, in the breaks, we started talking about some other things and some stuff I wanted to talk about. So simulation theory came up.
Yeah.
What do you know about simulation theory, like just off the top of your head?
We're all like computers. Not computers, but there's a computer running us.
Okay, sort of, kind of.
I'm guessing, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would equate it to the Matrix, like where, you know, there's just pods of humans being sourced for batteries, basically.
Yeah.
And
Keanu
Reeves, but they're living. They're living through
making decisions.
Yeah, they think they're alive. They think they're in the world, but it's all a computer program that's running all of us. So, like right now, you and me could be in the studio.
Yeah.
We could be talking with headphones on and around all this equipment and stuff. Or we could be in a pod somewhere and just this could be a loaded simulation.
Hmm.
And how, I mean, how is it when you start thinking about it that, you know, you could literally, like, remember proofs, like when you were in high school or whatever, like you had to, like, prove your math or whatever?
Yeah.
How would you show your work that you're actually here, that you're actually a person, that you're actually doing anything? It seems easy to say, well, I would just do this.
Yeah.
But then you start...
You start thinking about it. It's like, but wait, I could make that decision if I was running it through a computer. Well, or like
you would be making the decision.
Yeah.
Inside the realm of a computer.
Right.
Just... not in what we think of is the real world. Then you start thinking about what is the real world.
Yeah.
Is the world, you know, like as a virtual reality becomes more and more present in our life. I mean, you can go to Walmart right now and for $3 get a pair of VR goggles.
Goggles, yeah.
And utilize your cell phone that you have in your pocket right now. And, I mean, it's a rudimentary VR experience. It's not the Oculus Rift, but it's very cool.
Point.
It's
yeah.
very nifty. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, this is happening with just my phone. You can even you know, get Google, what is it like called, like Google Box or something. And a lot of these places will just send you it's a free cardboard box that you fold, put your phone in it, and it is VR goggles. And, I mean, so, like, you can get it for free. It's becoming more and more omnipresent in that. You start thinking about the benefits that this has, not just to the pornography industry, which is awesome.
Could be great.
It is great.
Well, I haven't tried it, so I wouldn't know.
What?
I don't have virtual reality.
They're
stuff.
$3 at the Walmart.
Listen, I have a child.
Oh, my goodness.
He takes all my money and runs.
$3.
I'll save up. I'll look in my couch.
I'll give you $3.
Okay, great.
So, you know, it's pretty neat. You're like, wow, like... But even in that very simple thing of it's just kind of changing your perspective a little bit, making you feel like you're more involved. Mm-hmm. Think of like if you get into the higher end stuff, the Oculus Rift. Think about like the benefits this could have for like say elderly, infirm, or shut-in people who could not, due to their age or illnesses, might not ever get a chance.
That's true.
Somebody on their deathbed, you know, who's always wanted to go to Paris. You put on these goggles,
and you're literally in Paris.
And you're turning your head, you're seeing the Louvre, you're walking through the Louvre. They might not be able to walk at all.
But that's where I kind of think like a joystick. I could like move it.
Well, you don't have to. Like you're doing it all with your head and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you don't.
You could be quadriplegic, you know, and experience to an extent of like what it would feel like to run again.
I actually have heard of that. They tried that out, I think, on some people.
And it's getting more and more, you know, technologically in-depth every day. Like,
scary.
Well, in a way, but not to just bring it back to the pornography, but there's like these attachments now that you put on different areas of your body. And so like let's say in the video, in the virtual world, the girl or guy touches you in a certain place, you feel it on your body. So it's an interactive thing. So then if you translate that into like a quadriplegic or somebody, you could have them feel actually
their legs
things.
Again.
Yeah. And it starts just going from there. And that's virtual reality. Simulated reality is the hypothesis that reality could be simulated, for example, by a quantum computer simulation to a degree indistinguishable from what we consider as, quote, true reality. It could contain conscious minds, which may or may not be fully aware that they are living inside a simulation. This is quite different from the current technologically achievable concept of virtual reality, which is easily distinguished from the experience of actuality, because participants are never in doubt about the nature of what they experience. Simulated reality would be hard or, in some cases, impossible to separate from true reality. And there's been a lot of debate over this topic, ranging from philosophical discourse to practical applications, like do we even have enough computing power to do that? Well, I mean, that's growing exponentially by the day. I mean, when I was in high school, we didn't even have computers. We had word processors. The internet hadn't even been really invented. I mean, it had, but it was just like very...
But it wasn't as advanced.
No, and like if you saw like 128 meg hard drive, you're like, 128 megs?
What do you do with all that?
Right, and now it's like your phone's got 60 gigs or something, and it fills up in a week.
Yeah.
You know, like we're going through data. We're going through computing processing power. You know, bitcoins, that's a whole nother thing. The computing processing that would take to mine bitcoins is now so large, it takes more energy than like Amazon, Verizon, and Walmart like combined yearly just to like mine bitcoins, you know?
Yeah.
So these things are being...
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's technology is growing at a very fast rate.
Yeah.
And so simulated reality is one of these things that has been theorized for a while now. It's actually, you know, went back to René Descartes, the philosopher, which is a long time ago, way before any of this. But now it's becoming more of a, could this actually be, you know, something?
I don't know. I don't know if I believe it.
Well, that's... We'll continue on. Just continue on while I find – I have to find a – I was finding some outro music there. You were supposed to keep talking. It's all
good. Well, I think of like – so your subconscious mind, you do something for so long, you begin to believe it. I mean, the Stanford prison experiment is a prime example. The students in the study at the end went under a psych evaluation. They didn't know what was reality. When they look back, they couldn't – you literally could not tell that they didn't think – that was really jail.
No, I think that that was more of a study in what happens when power goes to your head. Not
right.
That they didn't know it wasn't jail.
But
it became
it.
Jail.
Yeah, it became real. So here's like virtual reality, and there's a lot of people already that do it. That is their true reality, is when they plug in.
And that also begs the question, if you were given the option today, would you rather continue in what you know is this real life with its real struggles, or would you get plugged into a machine where you are still living, by all accounts, a real life without these struggles? Would you be a vegetable in a machine, or would you choose to be a human with... I mean, it's hard.
I don't know. I think I'd be a human.
I'd probably be a vegetable.
You probably would. But I also grew up with a techie, so it's like... Eh. I want to live in the moment.
We will continue this after the break. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC.
Tea for dinner, wine with the moon. She's crazy like that.
Crazy like that.
skinny as a rail, but thinks she's fat. She's crazy like that. Oh, crazy!
Oh, yeah. Listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I believe Mr. P. Warren. You can visit his website at joshuapwarren.com. No period after the P. I believe he's actually, for the first time, making it back down to Puerto Rico since the hurricane. The first time. He didn't even know if his house or any of his belongings are still there. It's a thought for the people of Puerto Rico. Over 50% of the island still without power. Most places still without running water. They're making do. I don't know why it's like it is, but keep them in your thoughts, your prayers, and even better, donate some money to a reputable organization if you can, as it affects people that you know, such as Joshua P. Warren. Sam, the Animal Steel producer extraordinaire of Speaking of Strange, filling in as guest host this evening, sitting with me, the lovely Lauren Hall, texting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about dreams.
Well, you're talking about dreams on the radio.
I am.
In real life, you put down the phone.
It's down. All right.
Goodness gracious.
I'm sorry.
The youth of today. I tell you what. So we were talking about dreams before the break, and we were talking about Lauren's, when she was younger, the, what do you want to call him? The colonel?
Colonial man. You, the colonel's
the
good.
The colonel?
Yeah. I actually used to call him that. That's weird.
In the plantation in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about Miriam, the mannequin. Now, for the first time ever, I've never done this before. During the break, I was like, I had to run down the hall. I was like, hey, look up some stuff about dreams, you know, interpretations. Mm-hmm. And I looked up mannequin. What does it mean when you dream of a mannequin? Okay.
Mannequin here, without a face or specific?
Well, I didn't go that deep here. Okay. We're just going to start with this. It says, to see a lifestyle mannequin suggests from a spiritual perspective that you are unable to move forward in life. You seem blocked. As the mannequin does not move, it suggests a block in life. If the mannequin did move in the dream, in this case, she was floating above me and tickling me.
Yeah, in roller skates.
Yeah, it can suggest that things will begin to move forward quickly. The mannequin is associated with reordering situations in life and trying to find the best way to approach matters. From a symbiotic perspective, one should reorder events and try to face problems. Are you trying to be the fittest candidate for a work situation in life? The mannequins in your dreams could be an extension of yourself. If you're feeling left out, this may cause anxiety, and the mannequin dream is common. In a mannequin dream, you may see the following. The mannequins are trying to talk to you. There are too many mannequins around you. The mannequins are forcing themselves on you. Which could be the case there with the tickling.
Yeah,
they're following you. They're dressed to do work, but not doing anything at all. Seeing a sex doll in a dream. But here are some positive things that it says. You're able to understand what they're saying. You're feeling satisfied by having mannequins around you. I did not feel either of those. It seems like a lot of these were maybe out of the realm of what, how old was I? Probably like, you know, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't think I even was cognizant of any of what those things meant. Like moving forward in life for a 5 or 6 year old is like.
I mean, you start kindergarten.
I did. I had a Tom and Jerry belt buckle. Can't remember what yesterday was, but I can remember. I can remember that I wore a Tom and Jerry belt buckle.
And you know, I can totally picture it.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you find out? We were talking about your kid a little bit.
Yeah.
And some dreams. And
yeah, he's only 4, and he dreams all the time. He busts into the bedroom. He dreams that vampires are like under his bed or in his closet.
Okay.
Yeah, so I looked up the meaning of vampires, and it could possibly mean the fear of losing somebody or just death itself. So that makes sense. He did just lose his pop-pop, which is his dad's grandfather, so his great-grandfather. And or it could mean that you are in an obsessive relationship. So,
well, in this case, he would not be in that.
Well, it does have to be like a relationship,
right.
But yeah.
But he could be around.
He could be around something like that, which, yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
But it's pretty.
I mean, you don't have to worry about much when you're 4, so.
Yeah, true that. true that. I mean, but at the same time, like, you worry about everything.
Yeah, you do. All the time.
I don't remember exactly what I was worrying about, but I'm sure I was worrying about lots of things when I was four. Probably, like, I would imagine.
I mean, you worry about what you're going to take to show and tell. He worries about that.
I probably did, too. Worried a lot about, like, mom and dad, like, what happens if they don't ever come back or stuff like that.
Your conscious mind is awake, so there's more imagination there.
And, I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, there's now. I mean, it's a lot easier to say, you know, at this age.
Honestly, his iPad is one of his biggest fears to get taken. Why a four-year-old has an iPad, ask my father.
We did not have, you know, I had a watch that played Pac-Man.
Did you get it from McDonald's?
No. Come on.
Hey, it has cool stuff then.
You know, I had, you know, I still to this day I like cool watches.
You do. You have a ton of watches.
And when I was a little kid, you know, like for big ones, Christmas or my birthday, now trying to rebuy them on eBay, very expensive.
A lot more expensive.
Yeah, trying to find these like Donkey Kong playing watches from 1982. But back then, like, I did not participate. I was more of a solo, you know, like. My sister was more into team sports. I did not like the team sports.
Yeah.
Did not like to participate. I went to a basketball camp, and I would just sit and play my watch and refuse to play.
I believe it. But you being stubborn, you would sit there.
Not even just stubborn. It was just like I did not want anything to do. So I had a very active, you know, brain life. So yeah. I would imagine things or make situations up because I didn't really like – I still don't really like – like people.
Yeah.
I'm not misanthropic. I just don't really, you know, I don't like large groups of people. I don't like lots of people.
Well, today, this, you shouldn't, anybody shouldn't. But
why is that?
With everything going on in the world, I don't want to be in a crowd.
Well, there's other reasons to not be in a crowd, but.
Well, that's my main one. But no. But those are things to worry about. So those could come up in your dreams.
Hearts, these dreams. I mean,
I don't know.
So you said that you dream in color.
I do dream in color, yeah.
If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color.
Should have seen it in color.
Little Jamie Johnson.
There we go. Should have seen it in color.
Yeah. Great song, by the way.
It is a great song.
Excellent song, but that's off the path there. So what does that mean? Did you look that up?
You know, I actually didn't. I think it's just, it depends on the person. I think I've looked it up in the past, but it just depends on the person.
I don't even, honestly.
But I don't know. Some of my most reoccurring dreams, like, there's very little color, but there's still color present.
It says on here that approximately 80% of all dreams are in color. Mm. There's a small percentage of people who claim to only dream in black and white. In studies where dreamers have been awakened and asked to select colors from a chart that match those in dreams, soft pastels are those most frequently chosen.
Yeah.
I mean, we've discussed this with Vance and Shelley before. I honestly can't even say for sure that I dream. I would say if I picked a percentage, it would be over 80% of
the
time.
I think you
dream. I'm sure I do. But
you talk.
I talk.
You talk in your sleep sometimes. I think you're dreaming about something.
But, I mean, I don't have recollections. It's very rare that I wake up and I'll be like, oh my goodness, you know, like,
yeah,
but it does happen occasionally, but I don't have, and if I'm correct, Josh P. Warren, he had a lucid dreamer where like you can train your brain to, as soon as you like, as soon as you go out, you're exactly where you want to be in a dream. Like you can basically teleport.
Like Inception?
Sort of like that, kind of. I mean,
I think that would be awesome, but
so
I don't have that much time to wake up and do that.
No, you do it while you're asleep. You train your brain while you're awake to let it know. So as soon as you doze off, bam, you're like immediately where you want to be. And like you're controlling the dream.
Right.
From
you're going where you want to go.
That's like some that's some heavy duty stuff
that's
right there.
That's pretty cool. I need to look into that because I got some places to
be. Well, let's check into that.
All right.
After this break, you're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual here on 570 WWNC, online at on your iHeartRadio app and at speakingofstrange.com. We're talking about, we're just kind of winging it. Wing-dinging it tonight.
Winging it. That's the message I got today. We're winging it.
Yeah, we're winging it. And dreams have just sort of come up naturally. So I was like, let's roll with dreams, meanings. What do you dream about? What are you running from or running toward? We'll explore deeper when Speaking of Strange continues.
Been alive for 4.5 centuries. I am immortal.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong, fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
I don't know about you, but I was born to be a prince of the universe. Were you a princess of the universe?
Oh, I was queen.
Queen of the universe.
Queen.
Odd, because that was queen.
Hey.
And princes of the universe. This is Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Also, pick us up on the iHeartRadio app, or you can listen on speakingofstrange.com. That would be Joshua P. Warren's website, also joshuapwarren.com. No period after the P. We have often said that that should be a T-shirt.
It really should.
No period after the P.
It should.
So,
hand it out at the convention.
At the convention. Yes, the convention, which is, just a thank you for bringing that back up,
you're so
Finding
welcome.
Your Magic, a one-time-only event in Las Vegas.
Vegas.
3 days of fun, info, and exercises with Joshua P. Warren. I believe Dr. Mulder will be there. Dr. John B. Alexander. Speaking of telekinesis, remote viewing, playing with strange debris from Roswell. And Lord knows what else when Josh gets into that Las Vegas thing. Because he's got an odd sleep schedule as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. He can go for days.
He's got the magic in him.
He's got the Kavorka. I don't know.
The Kavorka.
So we were talking before the break about a simulated reality.
Mm-hmm.
Got into a little bit of that. I don't know if we, you know,
kind of made me feel stupid.
Oh, it shouldn't, because
no.
It's
it's just mind-blowing to
yes.
think.
Yes. And I mean, we just scraped at the surface
mm-hmm.
of the mind-blowing. Well, now I'm going to blow your mind even more.
Oh,
now,
no.
This is something that I stumbled across. And me and my dad, he loves to have, you know, conversations like this. We were at Christmas dinner. Mom kind of dipped out. She was not.
Like what I would do.
You know, she was not so much into these deep, deep thought things like of.
Your dad would be into it, though, because he's a mathematician.
He is.
Right
he's
up his alley.
Also, what's the word? He's really into the scriptures. You know, he's an interesting fella.
A wonderful man.
He is.
He is.
Hey, Dad. How you doing? So this is called Last Thursday-ism. Okay. Now can you might find it brought up as last Tuesdayism, last Wednesdayism.
Why'd they pick Thursday?
I like Thursday. I don't know. I
like Friday.
Well, I guess it could be last Friday, but Thursday. Anyway.
Anyway.
This is the idea that the universe was created mm-hmm. last Thursday. But with the physical appearance of being billions of years old. So, depending on how you were brought up or what country, religion, whatever, mm-hmm. every place has its own creation story. You know, the one that we are most used to is, in the beginning, God created the heavens.
Christianity.
Yes, that one. And then you would have some within that, that would believe that the world is only, several thousand years old, although mm-hmm. that would seem to be negated by fossil records,
right.
Stuff like that. Even amongst the Christian community that believe that in the creationism community, even some of them have altered the thought to, God did create the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
but some theories are it's like, between day one and day two were millions of years. Or, there's lots of different, it's starting to splinter off. Well, you can start going down this rabbit hole. Under last Thursdayisms, books, fossils, you have to think about light from space, like the light that you go outside right now and you look at a star. That light has been traveling here for billions of years.
Billions of years.
Now, it is just now getting to our eyes, So under last Thursdayism, light already on the way from distant stars and literally everything that you can think of, like including your memories of the time before last Thursday. So you're like, well, we talked about kindergarten earlier, my Tom and Jerry belt. That's all just a thought mm-hmm. that was put into my head when I and everything, you and everything around us was created last Thursday. Okay? It was formed at the time of creation. In this state, such as they already appear much older. So if there are in our right now an antique book, you can tell it's old due to the dust cover, mm-hmm. due to the smell, due to the aging on the
texture,
pages.
The color of the page.
Yeah, mm-hmm. all that was just created last Thursday, but it was made to look old. Every memory you have in your head of childhood, that those thoughts were put in there.
Okay.
Last Thursday.
Makes me think that we're living just off of memory.
It could be. Now, it's this functions as a philosophical point on how our observations may not match with what we think of as reality. And what is in Latin known as a reducto ad absurdum of the young earth creationist idea of omphalism. If the world was created 6,000 years ago with the appearance of being made billions of years ago, what is there to stop us from claiming it was made last Thursday? That's obviously
it's so broad.
Well, the last third, it's making it very, if this is the case, then why couldn't it be Thursday?
Right.
Arbitrarily, let's just pick last Thursday. Okay. So this is from a book called Fundies Say the Darndest Things. It explains why people find the last Thursdayism idea difficult to comprehend. So this is a quote. Last Thursdayism is false because I clearly remember events from before last Thursday. It does not follow that God could have fixed our minds and experiences to make us think we only felt things before last Thursday. For example, I have a note with the date on it, and it says Wednesday, July 15th, 2009. This would not be possible if the world was created on Thursday, July 16th, 2009. Well, really, if common sense dictates, you can see the flaw pretty quickly in that argument that if God placed your memories of events before last Thursday into your mind, then it would appear as if you remembered something before last Thursday. Because last Thursdayism can explain anything, it operates as an unfalsifiable hypothesis. Okay? So basically that means that, you could think that sounds like ridiculous.
It honestly sounds like a big brother that just keeps losing, so he kind of came up with it.
Okay.
So that he's never wrong.
And I mean, that is like...
I'm not saying it's not true.
But that's the thing is that you can say it's not true.
Yeah.
But can you prove that it's not true?
No. But I can't prove that it's really, really right. Like, everything could technically be before Thursday.
So this is like how it happened for me. I came up upon this. I was like on a BuzzFeed list or something.
That's true news.
Don't even get started on that. It's passing the time.
Right,
but it was like
right.
a list of the 10 potentially like biggest conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Like one of them was that the Titanic didn't really sink. It was its sister ship that went down. You know, obviously JFK assassination in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was these other, and so I was like, last Thursdayism. What is that? So from that link, that just snowballed into hours and hours of like me clicking on more links and
it's like
reading
YouTube.
Yeah, and reading more stuff on it, and then finding out about Occam's razor. Finding out about Bertrand Russell, and you know, this guy is fascinating to me. This is what Bertrand Russell said in 1921 as he explained the problems with proving that the universe was created intact at a set point in the past in his five-minute hypothesis. Quote, "There is no logical impossibility in the hypothesis that the world sprang into being 5 minutes ago, exactly then, was with a population that remembered a wholly unreal past. There is no logically necessary connection between events at different times. Therefore, nothing that is happening now or will ever happen in the future can disprove the hypothesis that the world began 5 minutes ago."
I mean, I really don't know what to say because it's just, it seems so far-fetched to me.
Yeah, it does, but
and
I
it's
mean,
like, what's their measurement?
Okay, but just think about how far-fetched it is that we're here right now, if we're here right now. Think about all the things that had to happen throughout the course. Think about how far-fetched it is that, you know, we are breathing, that we're alive, that we're really just on these tiny, tiny little specks of dust on this. Think when you start thinking about how big the universe is. I mean, it's all mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. I've had several nights looking at the stars like, whoa.
So, you know, it's a lot to think of, and it sounds absurd. It sounds stupid. Like, well, of course the universe wasn't created 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Well, that's Thursday. But is that any more absurd than saying that the universe was created at any fixed point in time? When was the universe created? Like,
I think that's where you just have to stick with science.
Well, you know, science. Well, now there's a church, actually.
Oh.
The Church of Last Thursday. Okay.
Do they go to church on Thursday?
I don't know when they go to church. But there's several different offshoots. There's one that claims the universe was created last Thursday by Queen Mave the House Cat, who on next Thursday, which is Judgment Day, would admit those who were nice to cats to paradise and damn the unkind, the uncaring, and creationists to the never-cleaned eternal litter box.
Now this is just somebody that's having an acid trip that came out with this.
This very well could be
true. This is just somebody that needs to put it down and get some sleep.
I mean, that very well could be true. That is for sure. I don't know. Like, we're going to delve into this a little bit more after the break. It is a fascinating thing.
I just have a hard time putting science behind me.
You just roll with it.
I'm rolling.
Just roll with it. It's interesting. It's fun to think about these things from time to time.
Rolling down the rim. Sorry.
All right. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, and we'll be back right after this.
So I kicked it in. She was tripping on the bills. I think she was on some. She threw my shoe out into the yard. Then she called me a bum and slapped me real hard.
Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural charge, bomb for yards. Yeah, from the home of the Dodger Brooklyn squad. Who tank the hubbies on the score? Rain on your college disco dorm. Well, you didn't even touch my skill. You gotta go to one killer B, and he ain't for the kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick, she went to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bain. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, I think I did that.
I like the way you Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw.
The ODB, the Dirk McGirt, the big baby Jesus.
Got rhymes.
He likes it raw. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. On News Radio 570 WWNC, Sam Steele filling in for VP Vance Pollock and Shelley Wright, who are not here tonight. Joshua P. Warren, he's out in the ether somewhere investigating something. Doing something more interesting than I typically would be doing. As we wrap up this final segment of Hour 2, heading into the Dark 30, Lauren, being not a regular listener of the show, you're not familiar with it, are you?
Not really. I'm a little nervous.
Well, the Dark 30 Hour is, we encourage, I don't know how many children are actually listening to AM radio.
Hopefully not many, especially when this is on.
Approaching 11 on a Saturday night. Yeah. I don't know how many there are, but we encourage them to, like, tune out. Or even if you're of age.
Go to bed, honey.
Even if you're of age during the Dark 30 Hour, it can get a little more lewd. It can get a little more crude.
You're offended easily.
We get out of the topics of that bend the mind, such as Occam's Razor, virtual and simulated reality, last Thursdayism. We're going to talk a little bit about the teapot theory here in a sec. Yeah, I know. And then we get more into like the real world stupid ass stories of people being maroons and yeah, that kind of stuff.
So our normal conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
What we would typically talk about in the car. So let me find this up here real quick. Did you have that pulled up? The
Russell's teapot?
Yes. While I pull it up, give a quick...
Let's see. Specifically applied to oddity in the context of religion. He related that if he is asserted...
I don't know what it is. So we go back to Bertrand Russell, who is a philosopher, right?
Just do science.
And basically, Russell... What are we mumbling about under your breath?
Is there a God? I'm trying to be like ominous.
No, God, that's a whole nother hour segment at least there. You can't bring that up the last section.
Well, I'm reading about it.
Okay, Russell's teapot was used to illustrate that the philosophical burden of proof lies upon a person making unfalsifiable claims rather than shifting the burden of disproof to others. Specifically, he applied this analogy in the context of a religion. He wrote that if one were to assert, without offering proof, that a teapot orbits the sun, somewhere in space between the Earth and Mars, he could not expect anyone to believe him solely because his assertion could not be proven wrong.
You brought this up earlier and I thought it was a joke.
Russell's teapot is still invoked in discussions concerning the existence of God and has had influence in various fields and media. It's a very interesting thing because if I were to say, Lauren, there is a teapot.
Yeah.
And it is in orbit around the sun. Now, we don't have any kind of telescope that can see it. We don't have anything that powerful out there. But it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that it's not.
I could say it's not.
But you couldn't prove that it's not. And I couldn't prove that it is. But I couldn't prove that it isn't.
See, that I can kind of get on board with. I actually could.
So that goes into... a lot. You can take that out of science, take that into religion, and definitely take that into a God. Disproving dogmas. He went on to say that many Orthodox people speak as if it were the business of skeptics to disprove received dogmas rather than of dogmatists to prove them. And then he goes on to say about, if we went to churches and schools where we were taught about the teapot,
yeah,
we'd be much more... likely to believe in that there's a teapot out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so
it becomes a normality.
A normality?
Well, I mean, if we're taught about it and we're believing it because we've been taught about it for so many years,
right?
It's just a normal thing.
It becomes much more easy to believe.
You don't sound so crazy.
Right. And I wish we had more time to talk about Russell's Teapot, because it's kind of not giving it enough time.
It's really not.
But that's the whole thing. Like, this is what a Steele family Christmas dinner sounds like. Me as mom going, honey.
I think me and mom will just take a
seat and
mom, over in the
living
room.
You and mom would be in the living room eating the pie and having your coffee with the creamer, the pecan creamer in it, while the men folk over here talk about Russell's Teapot.
Words.
And whether or not there's God, and whether or not the universe was created last Thursday. Okay.
I don't think God would be on board with that. I don't know.
How would you think that God wouldn't be on board with that?
If it was last Thursday, he'd be like, no.
God, if there is a God, God would want us to be discussing whether or not there is a God.
You're right.
You wouldn't just judge somebody and be like, oh, whatever.
No, I wouldn't. But I got to have some backup.
These days, if anybody has an opinion that is slightly different than anybody else's, they are so quick to just, we have lost the ability and the tact, whatever, to question things and do so in a way that is, you know, has decorum.
And when you do question it, you're ignorant. Like, it's a lose-lose.
It should never be a lose-lose or an ignorance thing. It should be, you know, a learning thing.
Like,
if somebody believes something that you don't believe in, you should not disprove it, or you should not, like, hate them.
No,
or
I would want him to make me believe it.
You should have a discourse, a conversation, without judgment and without hate. I think these days we're very quick to jump on and be like, oh, you don't believe exactly the same thing as me, screw you.
Yep.
But that's not what we're going to be talking about next hour. It's the Dark 30 Hour. They're going to talk about some dirtiness, I'm sure.
We got to come up with some
stupidity. It's coming up next on Speaking of Strange...